So we once again encounter our adventurers as we approach the city of Storm's Fall. A few days after leaving West Fork, you all see that familiar sight. This time, not on as beautiful of a day as you were lucky to be graced by on your first entrance to the city. Today is slightly overcast, a little gloomy, threatening. The weather is threatening to show you why the city is called what it is, I guess we could say. It appears there is a storm, at least on the horizon. As you exit the woods and enter the storm basin, the Goliath camp is fairly quiet. It is a little bit after midday, probably closer to mid-afternoon, I guess would be a better way of saying it. It appears that the general raunchiness and like activity that occurs within the camp has really been muted since you all left. Kind of that your family's away on a potentially deadly mission. We're going to kind of sit quietly and not have a huge party while you're gone kind of thing. There's a lot of an air of worry, I guess would be a good way of saying it as well. But as you four and your band of Goliaths exit the woods into the basin, someone on the edge of the camp notices, and suddenly activity starts to pick up. You hear noises happening. You hear many voices. You hear the word getting passed as you approach. You hear word getting passed through camp that the hunting party has returned. And as the many figures of Goliath rush your party and everyone that is returning, unspeakable joy is in the eyes of some as they realize their most loved ones are among the group returning. And you get to see that on every single individual's face. Because not only is the party returning, the party's returning with everyone that left. A group, after fighting such a intense monster and being taken by surprise and losing so many family members and friends and loved ones and everything, to have the group leave and come back whole is not just a surprise, but a blessing. Suddenly, all of you find yourself surrounded by not just the party of Goliaths that you've been traveling with, but the entire clan. And people are getting, you're getting like slapped and pats on the back. Pilot, you get picked up and hugged by like a teenage Goliath girl who is just like, oh my God, we're so glad that you made it back. And just, there's just like immense amount of love just flooding over everyone. And it's not even directed at anyone in particular.
I pat Elikal on the shoulder and say, this man dealt the last blow.
Elikal, you find yourself getting picked up by everyone and you're put on shoulders and you could see, like, usually you can see over a crowd. This is the crowd where, like, you're, like, at the normal height. And suddenly, like, you're on top of some shoulders of people and you're getting, like, bounced around. It's kind of like a mosh pit in a way. Except you're up on, like, you're like crowd surfing a little bit. It's intense. It's wonderful. It's a experience only a Goliath among Goliaths can have in this.
Did we happen to bring the dragon head as like a trophy?
I have the horns.
Okay, the horns, yeah.
I think it was all butchered up too while we were.
Yeah,
living.
among among the group there's leather and scale, not really scales, more leathery. Leather and tail spikes and horns and teeth, and everyone who went out has come back with some sort of trophy. And man, the excitement is it's real. And you see, as the like excitement of like the first wave of everything starts to pass, you kind of note that like the idea passes amongst the clan that means that everyone gets to return home to the land that they're used to calling home. That means that you hear like, we can go back now. We can travel, and we can be amongst the mountains, and we can be in the peaks again. And that idea starts to pass around, and a different wave of energy passes everyone. It's that feeling of you've been on vacation like 5 days too long. Like you took a 3 week vacation. You only wanted like 18 days of vacation. And you're like, man, it would be nice to be like back in my bed, or back in my town. Like, I know where the heck I'm going, or, you know, back in my toilet where everything is the way it's supposed to be. Use my own shower. Like, that's the kind of energy that like passes through everyone as well after this like huge wave of excitement. Chief Maddox goes, everyone, we will return home 2 days from now. Please finish all the business we have in the city and begin preparation. And suddenly the group, like that just simple message, everyone starts to disperse, and the group that you were with suddenly goes with their own individual crowds, their families, their loved ones, their spouses, their parents, their young ones. And as the crowd disperses, you hear a few like Goliath children saying like, Papa, this is for some reason that Goliath
is very posh.
Sorry, I lost it. Papa, there's so much to tell you. I drew so many pictures. Come on, I'll show you. And you hear like other proclamations of love and like just awesome things of like, we miss it, we're so glad you're back, those all of those things, that returning from something that you could have potentially not returned from, there could have been much worse instances, and you feel very fortunate to not have to tell a mother or a wife or a husband or a child that their father, mother, spouse isn't coming back. Because that was always on the table. That was what was on the mind of the people as you left. What do you all want to do?
I want to talk to my mother.
All right. She comes out with the group, and like as everyone starts to disperse, she's there along with your two sisters. She goes, Ilikal, it's so good that you're back. We were so worried.
I just kind of present the dragon horns to her.
She can take one at a time. She takes it and she says, thank you. These are magnificent in a way. The real gift is that our family remains unbroken.
In Brustar.
Blue Star. And she, like, she pulls you in. And just big hug. Like, only a hug only a mom can give. My grandmother, an aside, probably, like, 5'5". Like, a short lady. Maybe not even 5. Maybe, like, 5'3". Like, a pretty short lady. Maybe weighed, I don't know, 125 pounds soaking wet. Could give the, like, most intense hug with, like a back slap that would knock the breath out of you. And that's kind of how I met it. Is this is a full mom hug. Like, you don't raise 3 Goliath children without getting really strong in the process if you weren't already.
You know, a grandma with a name like Illical, that doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
I knew it was coming as soon as he said grandma.
There will definitely be intense celebration tonight.
Watch yourself, Alphonse.
Yeah. Hey, I know where I can get some recovery now.
Hey, the first one was free. The second one's pretty damn expensive.
Hey, good thing we found a dragon's hoard.
So what's the plan?
Do we try to, like, make contact with the king?
Well, what time is it right now?
It's probably, if it's mid-afternoon, it's like 4 o'clock, maybe 4:30.
I was thinking about heading into the city to grab my eyes.
Mm.
We could.
Yeah, we can head over there.
Mm. What is on our agenda?
Yeah. So I want to go back to the potion shop person, because I've got the dragon's blood and the tooth. I think that might fetch a pretty penny from her. I want to see if we can get in contact with the king. If not, I've also got the letter of access to the Arcanist's Tower to see if we can go about it that route, because we do still need to get, like, clear guidance on where we should head specifically if we want to get into the Feywilds.
We should probably talk to the Arcanist first, maybe. And then maybe go talk to the king?
Yeah, so, like, set up, like, a meet with them, and then hopefully he can set up a meeting type of thing, yeah.
Yeah, or even if he might want to come with us, like, if to have, like a voice of reason.
I'm not splitting XP with an Arcanist. Oh, sorry. Oh, you do. Okay, you mean to the king. You mean to the king, not to the Feywilds. If we bring an extra person in our party, we have to split XP with said person. So we'll all lose out.
No,
so
no,
we
no.
don't want to. We don't want to blow up the party. But yeah, you mean like go meet with him and then go see the king with him in tow. Yeah.
Like to maybe have an extra, like, a personal counsel of his to offer. Like before, it was just us trying to convince the king. But if we have someone in his, you know, in his council to come in.
What do we need to talk to the king about?
To see if they can assist in any way of getting us to. Through the deadly woods and to the passage, I think.
Okay.
So we could do it ourselves.
I figured it would be
more
Arcanist, but...
Yeah, so we can go see the Arcanist instead. Yeah. I'm assuming he'll have something to say about us, like, taking his son's men.
Yeah.
Or, like, some
kind
of...
Well, no. That's not our fault, though. That was that was the prince's desire to do
that.
We can easily size, like, we were ready to go on our own to take care of this dragon. But through the kindness of your son, you know, we all came back unscathed, you know.
You can also try to swing it like, oh yeah, there was a big dam blocking the water and we undid that, so your trade is gonna be good because the limit. So we can
lie. That's always a good
that's
not
a lie.
We can just be vague about what we did.
For,
yeah, we don't have to say
directly
that.
Responsible for bringing the economy back to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not worth a pretty penny. I don't know what is.
Or presumably
like us.
So yeah, I guess we can go pick up your eyes first.
It is a little late. Like, it'll probably take, because the city's big, it might take 15 minutes to half an hour to getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we just go tomorrow.
Yeah, it might be like, if they close it, like if they're like a 5 p.m. kind of close thing, like
big
close.
Stuff we gotta do tomorrow for sure. Like and like we just finished a long journey, you know. It might behoove our characters to maybe take some rest or something.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's like 15 minutes to half an hour, like we've got literally 8 hours before sunset. We could probably but make it to the shops.
It's 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
4 o'clock.
Oh, it's four. I thought you said it was just afternoon.
No, I said.
Oh, never mind. Never mind. Never mind. Okay.
Yeah. So not. So like, we could maybe do a couple of things.
But, yeah, like you could potentially make it to the shop, and he might not be like closed up yet. Like that is something that's like the one. Like that is like the little thing. You could always you can hang out here. You could go to the Laughing Cat, where you guys like. No people like
see if Corin's back. It's probably yeah, not, but let's see.
That's,
yeah. I feel like the least... Laughing Cat could be a good spot to get like information because there's yeah. so like because it's such a like a diverse group of people that come through there.
Mm.
Who knows? We could find something there.
And of like the places that would be open late, the Laughing Cat is kind of it's a bar. Mm. Like yeah. they have a bar, so that's one of the things that can like you could actually could potentially like try and pick up Saf's eyeballs and try and make and then just head over to the Laughing Cat. Like the Laughing Cat, like that dude could be 1 a.m and you'd be like, let's go to the Laughing Cat, see what's going on. Like there's something happening. It's an inn and a bar.
I'm assuming Ilakal would probably want to celebrate with the Goliaths tonight.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It's a tight.
Also considering they're leaving soon.
Yeah.
So?
Party?
Party? Question mark? Is that what we're doing?
Party tonight, business tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
All right. As you all, you decided to party tonight, business tomorrow. As you all decide to spend time amongst the Goliaths in their revelry. I think revelry is the
it's
the,
like
it's the like marching song
peace.
Revelry.
Oh, it is. It's also like a revelry, like peace, quietude, like kind of almost prayer-like. English is weird.
A daydream, a state of being pleasantly lost in one's thoughts. Yeah. A daydream, revelry. Where we want to revel.
And a referee is an enforcer of rules.
Yeah, we want lively and noisy festivities. Hey, you know, the more you know, welcome to Prepare to Roll, a podcast about words. And which ones are appropriate to say in which sentence.
Oh, this is not making the cut.
This is scintillating conversation, Kaglo.
This is the best talk I've had in my life.
All right. As you have decided to join the Goliaths in their revelry for the evening, you're all part of the family now, which means you get to bear part of the work of the festivities. Congratulations. There's no such thing as a free lunch. As the sun arcs downward towards the horizon, suddenly you are each dragged into some form of like making dinner, building fires, doing setting up like decorations or pulling like they're not chairs but like places to sit and setting up tables and things like that. You all are immediately drafted in like it's your grandmother's house on Thanksgiving. Canadians have Thanksgiving, right? Canadian yeah. Thanksgiving is not yeah. the same time
it's
as,
just in
as
October.
October
yeah
mid-October.
Is it the same like big family holiday?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not as big here as it is in America, but it's yeah. it's big. Yeah.
It's a yeah, very Western thing.
And it's usually not on a Thursday, like it is in
yeah.
the States. It's like on a
always
Monday.
On a Thursday in the States.
Yeah. It's Mondays here.
More. And then you get 3 days off of work.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're all drafted into something different. Ilakal, you get drafted into chopping some logs for the fire, as you were very good at that. Alphonse, you were drafted into making the fire because you've got some serious magic. You get actually drafted into like making a lot of people's cook fires.
He's going like, around with a firebolt.
Like, can you get this? Can you get this?
Snaps the fingers.
Like one person's like, hey, can you light my fire? And then you do it, and then like you got like you're just pulled from cook fire
like,
to
oh,
cook
shit.
Fire. Zixel, you get pulled into like helping make dinner. Like you get pulled into like some like minute like dinner preparations. Like it's a mix of like chopping vegetables and like prepping like a big, it's like a big stew. Pilot, you get pulled into like, you're suddenly like, you find yourself like, you like for one thing, like you think you're helping out, and then like the next thing, like you're like helping manage childcare. Like they're like, you got like a Goliath, like somebody hands you like a Goliath, like quote unquote baby. You're like, I don't know what to do with this, and like you're just following around the mom who is handed to you while she's like doing a bunch of other stuff, and you're like, I am not equipped for this. I don't. Ilkal, you see that occur, and you're like, got the short stick. It's like you're only like, Goliath babies are big, and you get like a paw of a hand like reaches out and just touches your face, just like little baby, like just reach out like touch thing, just like pressing like against your face, like you're like, okay.
Baby starts crying because it's not flesh.
What the fuck is this?
It's cold.
Babies don't care. No. Let's see if baby perceives.
Let's see if baby care.
Baby doesn't notice.
Oh.
What's the baby's perception bonus? Minus one.
But yeah, as it all, like, it's like zero to full activity too. So where like fires had kind of like died down and been somber, that was the word that I wanted. As it had been somber, now it's lively. There's talk, there's singing, there's dancing, there's cook fires, there's like scents and sounds and smells. Like your senses are full in these few moments. And something akin to a feast breaks out. There's stews and roasted meats and skewers of they're like giant kebabs are passed around. And suddenly drink starts to flow and things get more lively and it's dinner time and it is quite delicious and immediately like feels good. You're having a good time. As people are beginning to eat, Chief Maddox steps up and he starts to tell the tale of the fight with the dragon. It's for someone who is kind of like not very wordy, he starts to tell like a it's almost an epic poem the way he starts to go in. And we tracked it for 1 week, and day to night we found the signs of the dragon amongst the rocks. And on the sixth night we parted ways, and overhead the dragon flew, and we knew it had to be nearby. We knew its lair was nearby, and as we crossed a peak, we found a cave and we investigated, and lo and behold, the lair. But the dragon was amongst the cliffs, so we had to sneak away. And this it goes on, and it goes into the meeting up at Raven's Rock in the middle of the night and taking a brief respite before gathering the entire force and attacking the dragon. And he describes the dragon leaving his lair and stretching in the morning sunlight, and with a major roar and cries of battle, all the Goliaths piling on to stop him from being able to fly away. And the four of you and the kings, the prince's guard specifically, coming out of the woods, and the piercing noise of the magic of Shatter, and Pilot, who they know is Ronald, dashing out of the underbrush, and suddenly just amongst the limbs of the dragon, Illichal taking the blast of the dragon's breath all at once and just remaining standing there, like just screaming in the face of death. And like gets the fight and the finally the beheading of Bibbs the Warmheart by their own Illichal. As he finishes the tale, he raises a toast to you, Illichal. And he says, to my nephew, Illichal. And just a chorus of Goliaths, Illichal! Just... And then the party really begins.
To Illichal!
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
A wrestling circle is drawn. Alphonse, you get pulled over by like a 16-year-old Goliath who saw you wrestle with...
With me.
With Illichal. Is like, you, come on.
Alphonse has been told he won that match, so this is going to be funny.
It's true. I take my hat off and put it on my staff and lean it against the tent, and I'm like, okay. Undefeated. Roll up my sleeves a little
Zixel,
bit.
This is the first time Zixel's experienced this. He wasn't here last time.
Yeah.
He was hanging out.
And he was told that Alphonse did win, so he's very humored by seeing this occur.
Yeah, he steps up, and you know this works. It's rock, paper, scissors with a strength check. Strength check, and you gotta win at rock, paper, scissors. No. Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna walk over to Sixel with the drink.
Yeah.
And I hand it over to him.
Into him, you got it. It's like vodka. It's a potato based liquor.
It's an fermented. And he hasn't had this before, strong. Right? So he's like, oh,
it is potent. They mix it with a variety of different like juices or other. They have like a strong ale that they also acquire. Like they brew the potato based liquor, or they distill the potato based liquor. That's what I want. But they also like one of the few things the Goliaths take back into the mountains is like casks of ale.
Adds up.
Alphonse, what'd you get for a strength check?
I got a 12.
Okay.
Minus one.
And do you choose rock, paper, or scissors?
Let's go rock.
Okay. You step into like attack, and you and the other Goliath, like, he comes at you the same way, and you like dig in really well, or he slips on like a sandy spot a little bit, and you push him back a little.
Oof.
And he's like right by the edge of the ring, and you're like, yeah, I am good at this. But he's
poorly
right there.
Did he roll?
Let me roll a 7. But he's right there on the edge. Like, you could push him out right now.
Let's do it. Oh. 8 on that one.
Do you choose rock, paper, or scissors?
Let's go with scissors.
Okay, he pushes back really hard. I guess no, he doesn't push. He kinda like pulls into you, but you realize that he's trying to do that. Like, as he's close to the ring, you're like, I gotta be careful because he can just throw me out. He's pretty strong. And he does like go to pick you up and just kind of throw you over his hip. And you're like, uh-uh. And you kind of like squirrely out of it. But like, you don't make any like progress. Mm-hmm. And he definitely wins in the strength department. Yep. But he's still right there on the edge.
Okay. Oh, an 8 again.
What do you choose, rock, paper, or scissors?
Let's go with rock.
Mm-hmm. It is unfortunate because he rolled a natural 20.
Oh, no.
So you think he also picks rock, but it is a double win.
Alphonse and dies.
As you're like, I just got to get him out of the... He's right there. His heel is on the edge of the circle. I just got to barrel into him. And he plants that foot up against the edge of the circle, and you barrel into him, and you're like, Goliath. And in that moment, he just like grasps right into you and just tackles you straight to the ground, and you lose your footing and are just pile like dog piled on by one Goliath, but it feels like a dog pile of multiple humans. And
he threw me outside of the ring, right?
It's like sumo wrestling. If you end up off of your feet or outside of the ring. Okay. So instead of throwing you, he just kind of like plumped.
I respect it.
Just down.
It went as good as it possibly could have.
And like you get squished a little bit, but you start to feel like your whole body shake as he chuckles. <You're> the... And you can't help but laugh yourself because it's pretty funny. And you're not.
This is embarrassing for Illical. I told everyone that Alphonse won against me.
I guess as we get it back up to our feet, I like pat him on the back, just like, that went as good as it possibly could have. Well done. And I throw his arm in the air.
Yeah. He pats you on the back. He like brushes the dust off of you. And like you looked out at your robes just covered in dust.
This Goliath probably thinks he could kill a dragon.
Power of youth, man. The celebration goes on. More drinks are passed around. Should you choose to consume, of course. Other stories are told of like famous ancestors that have fought dragons in the past and have won. And it might not dawn on you as much as it does the other members of the party that your story is going to be one of these stories from here on out. And I think the most socially aware would be Zixel and Alphonse realize like the way they told the first story of how this all went down is exactly the way they're telling all these like great 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 grandfather, great 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 grandmother, these people's stories of valor and virtue and courage and rage and all of that. But the party goes on late. And you start to get tired. It's intense. To some extent you're fighting off sleep more than drunkenness. Like just due to pure like tiredness of just days on the road and everything else and who knows what. But eventually after enough partying that you choose to have, you can settle down and rest. And you all have a wonderful long rest.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell
yeah. Next morning the sun rises on a misty morning. Incredibly overcast. It's one of those mornings where like the sun doesn't really rise, it just gets light out. And there are some very large storm clouds on the western horizon. Northwestern horizon. It moves west to east and north to south. But you all begin about your days.
Breakfast. And then hit the town, I suppose.
Yeah, what do we want to do today? What's our plan?
Pretty much what we said for yesterday.
Yeah, so...
Hit up the shops, hit up the Arcanist.
Yeah, maybe stop by the Laughing Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Laughing Cat could wait, though.
Yeah.
Probably.
Hit it up for, like,
you could breakfast at the Laughing Cat, who knows?
Could.
Probably feed here, though, right?
Yeah, free food.
Yeah. What okay, so food. What order? Okay. Breakfast is same kind of like,
and of course Zixel will assist in helping with the food.
Of course.
Just pay it forward.
Zixel, you learned something about like making Goliath biscuits. They do like that like buried unleavened bread that like bakes in the like coals and like dirt around the fire. You learn something new. Should you ever wish to prepare that, because you are proficient in chef's tools.
Oh,
damn! Look at you go,
master chef.
Gordon Ramsay, who?
I only know Zixil.
That's right.
He's gonna open up a 3-star. I'm trying to think of like what the fantasy Michelin would be. It's like wagon wheel or some sort of wagon wheel maker.
And inside the world, there is a Rorden Gamzee.
Rorden. It's a Tabaxi as well.
Mm-hmm. He's very kind.
He's got a very interesting accent. Yeah. So breakfast is made. It's good. What is our first stop as a party?
Where's the market district again, generally?
The market district is in the... It's the southwest side, so it's the upper right major, mm-hmm. big district.
So it's the closest off of the palace.
Yeah.
Yes.
So probably like eyes selling like markets first, then we can go to the Arcanist.
Yeah, that just makes sense.
Yeah.
No backtracking.
So, and then the Arcanist is in the Spiral district, mm-hmm. the Spark district. Mm-hmm. Eyes first. That's what we say. So as you all make your way into town, it is midweek, so it is not a market day. It's not like official, it's not the market day. You all make your way to the Tinker's Toolbox, which is the northern part of the market district. It's toward the outer part of the market district. The store looks exactly the same as when you were here last. You open the bell dings, and you're very familiar. Oh, hello! Welcome back.
Does Zixil know this character? Would he have met this character at any point?
It depends. okay. Maybe.
Hello, good sir. We're back. I don't believe I caught your name last time.
Oh, my name? My name is... hold on.
Okay.
Voice change.
There we go. Okay. My name is Pernamu Tamateheke, but everyone just calls me Po.
I'm done. That's all I wanted. That wasn't in my character voice. Thank you very much.
Are you here for the glasses? Glasses. It's the S's. It's good. It's like there's some like phonemes that are just really hard. You here for the glasses?
Yes,
they're eyeballs.
Okay.
He doesn't know that. They're just like.
That's the noise of the box, not him.
Very similar. Thanks for making that distinction.
Okay, so we have 2 monocles to some extent, and they should work just like the goggles. Pretty cool. Did you already pay for them?
No, yeah. Not yet.
Also, wasn't there some sort of agreement that he could, like... There was a deal. Study. Yeah.
There was... How much were they? They were...
110 gold pieces.
110. Yes. Okay. And... The arm...
It's not detachable, but you could study it.
Are you Okay, are you gonna stay here for a little while? I need like sure. an hour.
Oh, I need okay. you too, though. I need you at the Arcanist, and just in case we get time to move on to topic number two.
We can go do some you shopping guys and come back.
Do some shopping, and this right. fine gentleman can do their thing.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You're too kind.
This rat bastard.
That's what my wife says.
You got a pretty cool wife.
I think so. Can I help anyone else with anything first? Before we part ways?
Do you have a mirror, by chance?
Like, hand mirror?
You could want to put the eyes in. He's going to have so many questions.
I want to put it on.
It's daytime. You can't, the dark vision is going to help.
That's true.
It will be nearly imperceptible.
And put it in my pocket.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll head out. We'll come back in a bit.
See you later.
So far, the only thing on my session notes is Poe.
Oh, I didn't even write it down.
Or Poe the Tinkerer. He's pretty cool.
Interesting.
Okay.
That is...
I'd be worried.
Nope.
Okay.
That was a really impressive dice roll, just all around. It's a very interesting dice roll, I should say, not impressive. It is there pretty cool. There are incredible consequences to that dice roll. Is what I should say, mm-hmm. as always, all of them.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So pilot. As you,
I don't think that's what he was talking about.
Poe inspects and like he like one part like kind of like a physical checkup, like where like the doctor like baps on your knee with the thing to test your reflexes. He does some stuff like that, but also like does like a lot of like fine motor, like asks you to do like a lot of fine motor like tests. At one point, he asks you to like play. It's a lute. He like runs back in the back. He asks you to play a lute, like and like try and do like multiple, like play on like the multiple different strings with each finger. There's like at one point he gets out like a jeweler's, like eyepiece thing and is like inspecting like your forearm and like, the mechanisms that like pull your fingers and he's very, it's like. You don't exactly understand what he's doing, and he probably doesn't exactly understand some of the things he's doing. He's just asking himself questions. He takes a lot of notes in a small leather-bound notebook with, like, flat parchment. He makes a few sketches of what appears is, like, your wrist up to your fingertips and a few sketches of, like, your, like, elbow area. But you don't have the specific proficiency to know, like, why he cares about what he cares about. The rest of you, where are we going?
Isn't the potion shop in the Spark District?
It is.
Yeah, is there anything else we want to do here? Like, do you want to buy armor? I guess you just got brand new, really good. You want to sell your armor. You've got extra armor to sell.
Did I already sell Maybe. It? Hold on. I did.
Oh, yeah, you did. You did. Never mind.
Would I be able to find some, like, a cloak of protection anywhere in the town or in the city?
Potentially. Are we looking? What are you thinking? Like the specific item, cloak of protection?
I guess so.
What do you want from it?
That one magic dude said he took like commissions.
Mm.
Okay.
And
okay.
There is a bunch of magic loot, like gear and stuff that we couldn't afford.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I'd like to have a better AC. That's all.
Okay.
What is your?
Is that, I can't allowed? Think of.
Well,
I do that too.
If you can get your hands on it, it's like,
because I assume that doesn't count as armor and wouldn't go against your armor.
Right. Mm-hmm. That is a cloak. Yes.
Because it's a magical item, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if there's any like equivalent things to equip as a magic user to increase your AC. I think I saw like a ring of protection, but those look like they're rare. Cloaks look like they're uncommon.
So,
I don't know if there's any of that. Do have a ton of money.
Yeah, I don't know if I've good point.
That much.
I was doing. I must have been doing the same searches as you, like early on in the campaign. Like, what the hell can I equip to raise this AC? But mm-hmm. that seems like a good move.
So yeah, a cloak of protection is a uncommon item, uncommon magic item. It gives you a +1 bonus to AC and saving throws. Potentially, if you go to the store, it is entirely possible to
store in the Spark District.
Yes, you are aware of Arcane Armaments. Their owner Oberon is who everyone met last time. I don't know if you were with them at the time.
No, I don't think I was.
Oh, you weren't? I thought you were.
Or maybe I was. Yes, because we. Right? Did we go there?
Yeah,
after
yeah. Because then we went to get like the scrolls and stuff. I think you were there. I think you were there. Yeah.
To find a, I mean, I'm gonna like, before you guys go after it, a cloak of protection which adds one to your +1 to your AC and all of your saving throws is gonna be very expensive.
Yeah, I figured.
However,
does anything exist that's just the AC?
You could potentially, if he might have it, he might not. There could be a like cloak of armor, quote unquote armor, like armor in italics or something, which would only give the bonus AC. That would be substantially cheaper. Because the +1 to all your saving throws is
the bit that So that's why I was asking if there's any kind of like anything as a sorcerer to be able to wear to improve AC.
Yeah. That is a magic item that could exist, and you might have to commission it.
Okay.
But
worth asking.
Let's go matchy matchy. Let's get the same cloak.
Different colors. So maybe we can like
get it embroidered.
We could maybe pop our heads inside and like let Pilot know like, hey, we're gonna head to the Spark District if you want to meet us at.
Maybe at the Arcanist Tower in about an hour. Tower in an hour.
Meet us at the tower in an hour.
Possibly. Yep.
Right to raise a thumbs up, and I whack Poe in the face.
Ow. Yeah, so you walk over, you walk down through the Trade Square, you walk over to the Palace Square and from the Palace Square to the Arcanist, or the Spark District. Eventually you make your way to Arcane Armaments, where you have been before. This is where Pilot bought the wallet.
It's been a couple of weeks, you might have some new cool toys too.
Good. Entirely possible. But yeah, as you step in, you find the store looks exactly the same. It hasn't burned down or anything crazy like that.
This time.
There's a whole lot of stuff. As you walk in, there's one individual female, long blonde hair, wearing I wish I had the right word for it. It looks like a pirate's shirt, like the like long sleeve, kind of like feather floaty,
floofy blouse,
floofy cufflinks with like a collar, and she has like a jacket like draped over, like a long jacket like draped over her shoulders. You can see like the arms hanging down, and she's gesturing and talking about something, and like they appear to be haggling about something.
I'm already in love with her.
She's wearing like long tights and like at least like over the knee boots. Yes.
Are her wrists exposed?
Fucking one track mind. She's wearing a jacket.
No.
So I would assume no.
It's long sleeves. Like so it's like sleeves down the wrist, and they've got like a little like they've got a little bit of a frill at the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of like that shirt that like Seinfeld wears where it goes like completely up past the one with the poofy shirt.
It's a Buccaneer shirt. yikes.
Not everyone is a jellyfish.
he describes this person as a pirate. I'm gonna play it safe.
That's how I describe the shirt is like that pirate-y.
Yeah.
Like it's not like low, like you can't see from the back, but it's not. It's okay. A collared shirt, and her like half this like jacket thing. It's almost a cloak, like crosshatch diamonds of pink on purple. So it's like pink diamond, like large pink diamonds on a big purple like overcoat jacket thing. That's just draped over her shoulders, and she's gesturing like with one hand and arguing with the owner over something. And eventually, like as you guys step in, it appears this argument is like kind of settled a little bit. And she huffs and she reaches like down to her waist and she pulls out like a few gold coins and throws them on the counter and takes a thing. And she says, and Oberon goes, "Do come back now." And she goes, "You'll be lucky." And she turns and like as she like turns to leave, like she like her hair like she flips her hair over like her shoulder and she like makes eye contact with you all and kind of passes by. She's wearing a pair of green earrings, potentially jade or something, some sort of green stone. It's not emerald. It's like a rock, not a gemstone. She has really blue eyes. Big blue eyes, but she pushes past you. She like half throws a shoulder into you guys as she's leaving, just in half a fit. You guys are.
I missed the pirate lady.
You missed the lady. Yeah. You missed the hot lady.
Hey, you got a cool gnome.
He already thinks you're flirting with him, so
pretty cool.
Pretty cool. You gotta go and then that's how you find the voice. There it is.
Oh man.
I'm sure we'll see her again. She's gonna try to kill us later. It'll be.
She sounds important. No, she sounds important because Noah puts so much detail into this hot lady.
I did. Earlier this week, I said, "What if this character, but a lady?" And then I decided that she belongs in this world.
Piercing blue eyes.
Anytime like, you say dark hair and blue eyes, I'm like, is this another family member?
Blonde.
Oh, she's blonde? Okay.
Yeah, very blonde. Okay. Like a sandy blonde, even.
I just like girls.
And, yeah. I wonder if anyone listening to this a year from now will get the reference. If there is one.
A year from now.
I don't know what the reference is.
What's the reference?
I can't say that I do either.
Good. That means it's a good. It's really subtle if you guys don't get it. And that's why it's supposed to be.
Really obscure.
It's not really obscure. But
long
I don't know.
Long hair, blue eyes, pirate.
The specific description of this character very much matches the description of another character in another piece of. In another work. But I'll save that till the end.
Don't search it on Google. It's really weird.
I believe you.
Oh, God.
Oberon, the store owner, goes, "Oh, hello. Welcome in. What can I do for you all today? It's good to see you again."
You as well. Go ahead, Sixil.
I was looking to be assisted in some protection for myself.
He kind of like settles up on the counter
of the magical variety.
And you're like, oh, strapping young tabaxi like you needing protection? No way. Oh, well, what are we thinking specifically? I've got plenty of armor. I've got plenty of other things. But I bet you're not looking to do something. I bet you're not looking to necessarily wear your protection like in the armor fashion I'm getting.
I wish to not impede on my magical abilities.
Oh, he doesn't wish to impede on his magical abilities. Okay. Well, I do hear, walk with me, darling. Oh, and he like...
I trail behind slowly. I want to hear this too.
He gestures at a few things. And he goes, we've got some rings, but that's not your style. And he walks over to like a half mannequin.
I'm fine with rings. You got rings?
And I'll just munching on snacks. Munching on popcorn as everything goes. He goes, now this, and he steps up to a mannequin and it has a cloak on it. And he goes, this here cloak will not only protect you a little bit from the elements, from weapons and armor, from getting bashed over the head while you sleep, it will also make you less likely to be poisoned, more likely to dodge out of falling rocks. And even should someone try to cast Feeble Mind on you, we'll help you with that as well.
Well, very interesting.
It is quite a steep price, though.
I would imagine.
It is the only one in my collection currently, and they are very hard to acquire. The materials are increasingly difficult to acquire this time of year. This time of any time, actually, let me be honest. The materials themselves cost 500 gold pieces. And then I have to have it specially knitted and use enchanted thread and enchanted myself. This cloak, the only one in my possession currently, can be yours for a meager 3,000 gold. And that's an actual cloak of protection.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like the real deal.
Yeah, the real deal. Yeah. Say if I would look for a request to have one made, what would I be looking for? What would I be looking at cost-wise?
Well, it depends. What all do you want it to do?
Just protect me. I'm looking for protection.
Just against... the mundane? Arrows, mundane. Daggers.
Anything for rock. The assistance.
Well, that...
Don't forget magic.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Fire, lightning. Yes, of course. Well, the enchantment is significantly easier in that case. The materials... not that different in cost. It is... A few lesser gems worth of powder and things to hold the enchantment at least. I could just for armor of the magical sort, I could do for a third of the cost, 1,000 gold.
Well, I very, very much appreciate this. You may expect a return from me at some point in time.
Of course.
How long would it take to procure such an item?
I'll... would have to call my contacts for... the... Boulette blood.
Say that again.
Boulette. It's a large armored creature. Dwells underground, mostly, The way the cloak actually works is that you use an enchantment mixed with the blood of the bullet, and it makes a super fine magical... It's kind of like when you oil your leather boots and the water just slides right off, except it's blades and arrows and fire and lightning and all of the sort. But of course...
Say if I perhaps assist in procuring... whatever it is that you would need. How much would that help you?
Well, it's about just wholesale, about 300 gold worth of materials themselves, and then my own expertise in creating it, of course. And he like gestures and like little like like little bitty fireworks and frills and glitter like spark in the air. But should you be able to acquire me all of the things I would need, just the bullet blood alone is probably worth the bullet blood alone I could reduce the cost by 100 gold. Now, if you wish to acquire all of the ingredients, I could make it for 700.
Something to consider, then, of course.
Of course.
Anything else here in the realm of protection? I see some rings back along the way.
Yes. In the realm of protection, let me think. Walk with me. Let me look through my ledger. And he walks back to his countertop. And he pulls out this... It's like a huge book in terms of like height and width, and sets it down, and he flops it open, and it's got like flaps, like little like fold outs and things, and he's like flicking through like different stuff, and he's looking, he says, in terms of protection, this might be of interest to you, it might not. I do have, on the more inexpensive side, a one-time use item. And he says, it's right here. And he walks over to the wall, and on the wall, you know, it's a bunch of cubbies. And he pulls out a scroll, and he says, I have this scroll. He says, this scroll, should you choose to read it, will enclose you in an invisible barrier that extends out from you 5 foot and 10 feet high. For 5 minutes, this barrier will prevent creatures, specifically elementals, from entering or affecting anything within it, including you. The cylinder will move with you and remain centered on you, but if you move in such a way that that creature, the elemental, would move inside, the spell will end.
How long does the spell last?
Last 5 minutes. And of course, it is not infallible. The elemental can attempt to overcome the barrier using innate spell ability. For a moderately difficult overcome, though. But it does remain outside. Could be incredibly useful in the appropriate circumstances. Now, I have this one for elementals, but I also have another one that will work the same way for undead. But these are the two that I have momentarily.
And what would such scrolls cost?
With these specifically? To be honest, it's been on my shelf a while. But I could part with it for 180 gold.
Very interesting wares you have here. I've been trying to think for the last week as to when I would ever use that trident that I picked up.
Yep.
I don't know if that might be something that I just straight up give to Ilikal, maybe. If he'd want it.
If you want to sell it, go for it.
Would this interest you? Pulls out the trident.
He takes it from you, and he says a few words, and you watch as a bit of arcane flashes like across his like eyes, and he goes, "Interesting. This is very nice. And I have a friend who could definitely use it. I think for this, I could give you 600 gold.
I tried to bump up the price a bit.
Okay, make a charisma check. Persuasion, specifically, if you're proficient.
Sure.
What do you say?
Yeah, and how much do you want to try to bump up the price?
Well, it only goes to 13. So I think you try to say something. Judging by your reaction, perhaps it would be fair to maybe get 650 for such an item.
He smiles, like a very big smile. 650, done and done.
Oh, fuck.
And he actually... He reaches into a pocket, a pouch at his waist that looks empty, and he pulls out 65 platinum pieces and he sets them down in front of you.
A pleasure doing business with you.
By the pleasure cloak. All mine.
By the cloak.
If I've said 650, the cloak's 3,000.
No, 1,000.
To procure that other cloak, it would be 1,000. The one that's here, it's 3,000. $65 platinum. Nice. Nice. Yeah, I'd have to give up some coins.
You could give up to Pilot.
You could also buy a wallet.
Oh, right. Are there the wallets, were they here?
Yeah.
Were they in this store? How much were those?
How much do they carry?
Is multiple?
And yeah, how much?
So many questions.
The thing I don't like about these is that, like,
so the
thief gets it, all your money's gone.
Yeah. Right, but the thief can't...
Oh, they can't pick it up, but they're not going to... They can't take the money up, but they're not going to know that when they steal it.
But they're also not going to know that it's, like... It obviously looks like a pouch, but it looks like an empty pouch.
It looks like a... So it's a small pouch inside of which is an extra dimensional space. The pouch can only hold coins or gems up to 500, not exceeding a volume of 2 cubic feet. So you can't just meld your coins into one really big coin.
I think either way, like, I'd probably still want to keep most of my money in the bank, but it would still be nice to, like, at any point I know that I can, if I have a coin on, like, during an adventure, I won't have to worry about carrying too much. Yeah. So how much would that wallet be?
Saf, how much was it? 150 gold, I think?
I don't remember having it. I didn't write down the price. Down.
I think it's 150. I'm going to say it's 150 gold.
Okay.
And he has two more. At least. He's got one on his belt. The wallet has, so placing an object in the wallet follows the normal rules for interacting with objects. Retrieving an item from the wallet requires you to use an action. Only the owner of the wallet can retrieve the coins or gems from within it. The wallet has a few limitations. If it's overloaded or if a sharp object pierces or tears it, the wallet ruptured and is destroyed. If the wallet is destroyed, its contents are scattered to random locations within the current plane of existence. If the wallet is turned inside out by its owner, its contents spill forth unharmed and the wallet must be put right before it can be used again. Placing the wallet inside an extra-dimensional space created by a bag of holding, portable hole, or a similar item instantly destroys both items and opens a gate to the astral plane. The gate originates where the one item was placed inside the other. Any creature within 10 feet of the gate is sucked through it and deposited in a random location on the astral plane. Then the gate closes. The gate is one way and cannot be reopened.
I read that. I'm like, interesting.
That's the very small text. it's like this big. You're like, what does that say? What?
Yeah, like some shenanigans gonna care with that.
Welcome
just like
to the
take
bank
all your money,
holders,
put it back to a regular wallet, and just like throw it into someone's bag of holding and cause insanity.
Eat out of there.
Yeah, I think Zixel pulls out 15 platinum. I'd like to purchase the wallet.
He says, I have them in two colors. I have a black one and a white one. They both go with your fur quite nicely.
The black will be fine.
It is black with white accents.
Oh, perfect.
Much like you. Black with white stripes.
Perfect.
I'm kind of interested in one too, but before that, I was wondering if you had anything that would allow casting of spells without the use of arcane spell slots, essentially conveying that.
Yep. That's fine.
And then I let my hat change shape a little bit when he's watching, similar to this hat.
Now, are you looking for specifically something that will cast a specific spell, or something that is more versatile?
Versatility is always key, but whatever you have on hand, I'd consider. Damage is always nice.
Of course. You're not gonna like. You're not gonna like it. He says, "I do have this," and he says, "I have to keep it in a special place." And he reaches up and he, like, just in like midair and like pulls something just from midair, and he holds it in front of you, and it's a very large pearl. He says, "This specific pearl comes from a clam within the lair of a kraken. While this pearl is on your person, you can use an action to speak its command word. And regain a little bit of arcane."
Mm.
How much is a little bit? Like a roll?
A spell slot, I'm imagining.
If the expended slot is of fourth or higher, the new slot is third level. So it's third level or below. But once you've used the pearl, it can't be used again until the next dawn.
It'd still be useful in a pinch.
Yeah.
So you can get a spell slot of third level or lower back from it.
It's a pearl. It's probably going to be pretty pricey, though.
Yeah, from the lair of a kraken. Procurement cost is probably like 4,000.
Yeah.
Now I'm afraid to ask, how much for this pearl?
Sixel just laughs.
This pearl specifically, and he vanishes it, and he says,
"Out of your price range."
Get out of my shop.
I could part with it for 5,500 gold.
Yeah. As expected.
I was thinking 5,000.
Fucking inflation.
Can't buy magic items. You gotta have big money to buy magic items.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take the wallet as well.
This is my last one.
The white one.
Drop 10 platinum.
With black stitching.
10 platinum and 50 gold.
150. Okay, yeah. I was like, what?
I was just letting you know how I was paying.
Yeah.
That's relevant now.
Thanks, and it goes into his. His is purple.
Fancy.
Is there any way to alter these colors?
Of course. He said, "What would you like?"
I would like it in blue. I'm a fan.
He like
everyone
looked you
was
up and
surprised.
Down, we could do a color alteration for one gold piece.
Done.
You give him the gold?
Yep.
He snaps and it's blue.
Perfect.
You're getting fucking robbed over here.
You are.
Alphonse knows what he likes.
It perfectly matches the blue and gold accents, though. It almost blends in with the rest of your outfit.
Yeah, like the shopkeeper just like looks up and down. Alphonse is like, "Yep, I know what you want."
On brand.
You're like, "But how much is the fancy one?"